Indeed, we bless the Lord who loves to love us and to bless us. What a God we get to meet with together and on our own at any time or in any place. One of the first and greatest philosophers of all time was a man named Plato. He said something very astute about courage. Courage is, Plato said, a product of knowing what to fear and what not to fear. Of John Knox, the founder of our Presbyterian branch of Christianity, it was said he so feared God that he feared no one and nothing else. In that, John Knox was simply walking in the footsteps of the apostles. Shortly before the events in the scripture lesson that Ed just read, the authorities had warned two of the apostles, Peter and John, to quit talking about Jesus and threaten them with prison if they kept at it. The apostles, however, told the authorities they couldn't stop talking about Jesus, and sure enough, as soon as they were released, they resumed their witness, speaking about Jesus all the more boldly and drawing larger and larger crowds. So the authorities swept on them again and locked them up in prison, swearing that they would take more decisive action to shut them up the next morning. When the next day dawned, however, the apostles were nowhere to be found. Though the prison doors were still locked, and though police officers still stood at all the entrances in and out of the prison, the prisoners were gone. But they had not gone into hiding. They had gone right back to the temple courtyard where they had been arrested for proclaiming the message and had gone on with the proclamation of the good news. It was for them a non-negotiable matter of obedience. For the very angel of the Lord that showed up in that prison in order to release them gave them explicit instructions saying, "Go, stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." So once more, the police arrested the apostles and dragged them before the authorities, who immediately ordered them to zip their lips or else. And once more, the apostles refused to abide by what they had been ordered to do. They refused to refrain from telling the good news, too good to keep to themselves. Unintimidated by the threats, John and Peter simply replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." What gave them such courage to defy earthly powers and disdain the menacing threats they could well deliver on? John and Peter knew what to fear and what not to fear. Though the apostles knew that they were exposed to genuine danger and that they might well suffer further imprisonment, physical abuse, and perhaps even extermination, and though they had to feel at an emotional and physical level a kind of feeling of scaredness about what it would involve, their view of the purpose of their life drained the power of those feelings to deter them from what they felt sure God had given them to do. They lived not by their feelings, but by their faith that God had assigned them a purpose which was theirs to fulfill, no matter what pain or peril it might involve. More than they feared distress or death, they feared disappointing the Savior for whom they lived, falling short of their high and holy destiny, and failing to live out fully the love they were called to share of God and of neighbor. They were firmly convinced that neither suffering nor imprisonment nor premature death is the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. All three of those things would happen to Peter, but he would accept those awful things as just the cost that one must pay to do the business of God and to fulfill the reason why one still existed, still on earth. And the spiritual descendants of the apostles have always lived by the same perspective. I think of the faithful followers of Christ who decades ago fought for civil rights, though they knew they'd suffer painful bites from fierce police dogs, the blistering blasts of water hoses, cold nights behind bars without bedding, toilet facilities, or food, and even perhaps lynching. They feared the right things and thus nothing else in comparison. I think of the faithful followers of Christ in our day who fight now for justice and equal opportunity, though they know they'll end up often with rioters ready to throw rocks and Molotov cocktails on one side and with police ready to launch tear gas canisters and bullets on the other side. But they do it anyway because they know what to fear and because they fear the right things, they fear nothing else in comparison. I think of our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters in certain places in Africa and the Middle East who continue to bear witness to Christ and the good news of the gospel, though they know that for it they'll lose jobs and friends and will very likely get beaten up and locked up in prison for a very long time. They fear the right things and thus nothing else in comparison. I think of students in this very congregation who resist peer pressure and refuse to steal or cheat on tests when they could get away with it, though they know they will be mocked for fools for not taking advantage of what could help them. I think of adults in this congregation who refrain from enjoying jokes that play off of negative stereotypes of other people and who welcome all kinds of folks into their circle of friendship and into their homes, though they know they will be ostracized within certain social circles for doing so. I think of many in this congregation who keep sharing with others what Christ has done for them and what Christ would do for anyone with an open heart, though they know they'll get labeled, defamed, and excluded. They all fear the right things, and thus nothing else in comparison. When deciding upon a course of action, the true followers of Christ do not first ask, is it safe and pain-free? They first ask, is it faithful to my Lord, to whom I owe everything? Is it true to my best self, whom He has made me to be? Is it fulfilling of my unique and highest purpose in life? But some may be asking themselves, who would want to embrace being a true follower of Christ if it puts them at constant risk of such trouble and tribulation? Those who love Jesus and therefore want to go where He is going and do with Him what He is doing here and now. Those who want their lives to mean something and to make a difference for good in this world so troubled by evil. Those who desire to feel God's delight so much that they fear no deprivation or danger that must be paid to obtain it, endured to obtain it. This courageous but costly life is in the end the one that makes us the happiest of all. And it's not just at that distant finish line, but every step of the race in getting there. God is good and gracious, even when He's asking us to do the hard but right thing. Let us trust Him and obey Him and be people who